Amen. I love you. Amen. Always say to my pastors, I love you. We are to love our preacher, aren't we?
Amen.
And of course, pastor loves the church. And good to be here. I enjoyed Sunday school and the morning service this morning. The response was well. I think the Lord was pleased with that. And let me call your attention tonight to the book of Colossians. Colossians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Some years ago, I believe that I brought a series of messages here at Lighthouse on Colossians chapter 3, essentials to a life of prayer, necessities to the life of prayer. And then I jumped to chapter 4 for a year or so, and now I'm in chapter 1. And been in chapter 1 all year this year, and God has really, really blessed this series of messages on the prayer of Paul, the prayers of Paul. Paul wrote to a church that he didn't even know. He didn't know them. He had never met them. But he wrote a letter. He had heard some things, and he wrote a letter. I believe if he had a cell phone, he might have called them. I don't know. But he wrote letters back to his churches. And I want to read that letter to you tonight. And let me say this, because a fellow said something to me not long ago. Brother Beckham, you can't really preach that's for us. And, you know, I kind of said some things this morning about that. The Bible is written for us, too. Amen? The Bible is written for us, too. And if it's not, like I said this morning, we might as well pack them up and just take them out there in the parking lot and burn them. If it's not for us, but I know it is for me. I know it's for you. And so this week, Lord's willing, I'm going to be sharing some things for you and for me that if we'll just do them, we'll have a relationship with God. If we ignore them, we are not going to have a relationship with God. And then you're on your own out there with the devil and the flesh and the world. And we're no match, but our Father is. That's the reason why we need to be in fellowship with Him at all times. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, if you'll turn with me for the reading of the Word of God. And if you would like to, let's stand. I didn't have you to stand this morning, and then I got convicted real quick. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, you heard some things, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Brother, before I bring the message, can I ask you a question, brethren? Have you talked to the Father today? I asked you this morning, and if you didn't this morning, have you prayed? Have you talked to Him? Have you fellowshiped with Him this afternoon? I hope you have. I hope you have. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I love You. And Father, as I bring this message tonight, I pray that I can be very sensitive to the needs of this church, individual needs. I pray, Father, that I can be very loving and tender and sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I pray the same prayer for the church, that they will be loving and sensitive to the message as they receive it into their hearts. I pray for the lost. I pray for the backslidden. Again, I want to say, Father, thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All through the Bible, we find prayers. I believe it's somewhere around 648 to 700 prayers in the Bible. I find men praying. I find ladies praying. Let me give some of them to you. In the beginning of the sermon, Job prayed for his friends in Job 42:10. Moses prayed for Aaron in Deuteronomy 9:20. Samuel prayed for Israel in 1 Samuel 7, 5 through 9. David prayed for Israel in 2 Samuel 24, 17. Hezekiah prayed for Judah in 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. Isaiah prayed for the people of God in Isaiah 63, verse 15 through 64, verse 12. Daniel prayed for Israel in Daniel 9, 3 through 19. Ezekiel prayed for Israel, Ezekiel 9, 8. Nehemiah prayed for Judah in Nehemiah 1, 4 through 11. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, 9 through 24. The Jerusalem church prayed for Peter's release from prison in Acts 12, 5. And then when God answered the prayer, they didn't have enough faith to receive the answer. Sounds kind of like some of our churches. And then Paul prayed for Christians in Romans chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And then let me ask you this, and you prayed. Who did you pray for? Who have you prayed for? Who are you praying for? That's good questions, because we are to be a praying people. We are to be a people that loves the fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Let me just give you the first part of this prayer of Paul tonight. Let's look at verse 9 again. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul's prayer is that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word filled means to be completely filled or to be totally controlled. Paul wanted the Colossians to be totally controlled by the knowledge of God's word. He didn't want them to be shallow. He wanted them to have a deep knowledge of the word of God and of the will of God. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2, the Bible says that the soul be without knowledge, it's not good. If we know to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. And we need to really get a hold of that verse. And then when I read in the book of Isaiah 5:3 and Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." Our churches are dying. They tell me that 1,500 preachers a month quits the ministry. They tell me that 2,000 churches a year shuts their doors here in America. No telling how many around the world. And the reason why they are closing, the reason why they are quitting, because they have a lack of knowledge. We need a knowledge. We need it desperately. And as I go through the Bible, I find people that doesn't have the knowledge. I find people that does have the knowledge. And the ones that has the knowledge, they get along much better than the ones that don't have the knowledge. of God's will. People will tell me sometimes, Brother Beckham, the will of God is so hard, I can't find the will of God. I don't know what the will of God is in my life. I'm going to make it simple for you tonight. It's not hard to know the will of God. If you have a knowledge of the Word of God, it's not hard to know the will of God. But if you're not in the book and you're not reading the book and not studying the book, then I can understand why you don't have a knowledge of God's will. Let me give you one of God's will that I know for a fact it's God's will. It is God's will for all men to be saved. It is God's will for whosoever will shall be saved. Someone asked me the other night, Brother Beckham, how about Calvinism? How about this and how about that? Doesn't God have an elect? And preacher, I don't know about California, but it's sweeping across North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee. It's like poison just going all over the place. And I'm screaming from the housetop, it's God's will to save all men. It's God's will to save the black man, the white man, the red man, the brown man, the polka dot. It is God's will to save everybody. Amen. I know that. You know why I know that? Because I've studied the book. I've read the book. And I've read it from the cover to cover. I know it is the will of the Heavenly Father to save all men. Number two, I know it's God's will for you and I to be separated, sanctified, mortified, all those things that I said this morning. How do I know that? Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. It's not hard. It's very easy. It's very simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, plainly now listen to it, for this is the will of God. Underline it. That's pretty plain, isn't it? For this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Listen, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. We are taught in the Bible that we are to be a peculiar people. We are to be a clean people. We are to be a pure people. We are to be a sanctified people. Why? Because the Bible says so. I am not talking about preferences. I am not talking about some man-made preference. I am talking about what does the Bible say about you and I being sanctified. And by the way, sanctification is a Bible doctrine. It's a Bible term. It's not a denominational term. It is a Bible term. Amen. And it is God's will for everyone in this room to be sanctified. Hello? Yeah. Sanctified. I want you to look at that word wisdom also. That word wisdom refers to the ability to collect and organize the principles of the Word of God. The word understanding could be more specialized term referring to the application of those principles to everyday life. I find it in the Bible that I am to be sanctified not just because I come to church or when I come to church, but I am to be sanctified all during the day. Pray without ceasing. But I can't pray without ceasing unless Brother Beckham is sanctified, unless I am clean, unless I am, amen? I can't be sanctified if I'm a dirty vessel. And church, listen, we can't be used of God if we are not clean. We have to be clean. We have to be sanctified. Amen. Don't be afraid of that term. It's a Bible term. God wants us to know about it. We need to have a knowledge of what that word means. I wrote in my notes, I said, what controls our thoughts will control our behavior. And there's a lot of behavior that's not godly in our churches. We need to know that word. You need to have a knowledge of that word. Number three tonight, do you know that it's God's will for you, for me, to have a prayer life? Do you know it's not optional? Do you know that you can't just do it whenever you want to? Hello? Yeah. It's not optional. It's a necessity. You got to do it. And if you're saved and you're sanctified, let me tell you, you will do it. Amen. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 18. I tell my churches sometimes, Brother Dunlop, I tell them, I said, if you'll smile at me, I'll get done quicker. If you don't smile, I'm going to preach until you do. And that could be eternity for Baptists. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, look at it. In verse 18, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You see it? It's there, isn't it? It's there. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you want to be in the will of God, you must be a praying person. Amen. And you must do it the way God tells you to do it too. The Bible says to pray always. I get a little disturbed at preachers sometimes. They'll preach from Luke and they'll preach from that text and they'll preach about prayer in general, but they won't touch on the word always. They won't bring out the meaning of the word always. They won't deal with the word and not faint. Those two words are very important to that verse. Amen. For this is the will of God, for Brother Benny to have a prayer life. So if you're not praying like you should, then you're out of the will of God. And right now, you're just out there. Oh, we got to get back to praying. What did Jesus say? My house shall be called what? The house of prayer. Was he just trying to fill up a sentence there with dead wood words? Or was he, what, did he really mean that? Did he really mean that he wanted his house to be a house of prayer? I believe he does. I believe he did then, and I believe he does. And then number four, once a person is saved, it is God's will that he be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh my, if we could just get people to be, I'm not talking about whenever you got saved and the Holy Ghost moved into your heart. He did that for all saved people. But I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore be ye not unwise. I beg my churches all the time, don't be unwise. Get in the book. Have a knowledge of the book. Don't be unwise. But understanding. You see it? You see it? Church, you see it? It's there. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding. Understanding what, Brother Beckham? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is, with this point, that you and I will be Spirit-filled, guided by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All of that is a part of being filled and being guided and being controlled by those things. I like it so much. Can I read it one more time? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. I am, Brother Dunlop, I am not afraid of that doctrine. Amen. Matter of fact, it has been that doctrine that has helped me to just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. And then I want you to look in verse 10 and 11. This is a series of messages that doesn't take long to preach. Verse 10 and 11, I want you to just look at it with me. Because it gets deeper and deeper. We see the results of the knowledge that I'm talking about. The results, listen, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. The Apostle Paul lists five things here that are fulfilled in such spiritual knowledge. The first one is a worthy walk. The word walk is used in the Bible to refer to one's pattern of daily conduct. I said this morning, not a weekly conduct, not a monthly, yearly, but a daily conduct. That's what it means. Paul taught it all through the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, he said that you would walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom in glory. He exhorted in Ephesians 4 and verse 1 to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he said to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. May Brother Beckham ask you a question from my heart tonight. It's a fair question. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Are you walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? That's very important. Because I have came to Lighthouse Baptist Church to see us have revival. That's why I'm here. Oh, Brother Beckham, I thought you and Jeanette came just to visit and to have a good time. Well, that's true too. I'm going to have a good time. Amen. Amen? And I hope that you will have a good time. But you won't have a full time if you're not faithful to the things I have already given you. I'm not talking to people that doesn't have a knowledge of the Bible. I'm talking to a church that I know. You hear the Bible taught and preached every week. But Is your life all pleasing? Is your walk worthy of the Lord? That's important to me. It should be important to you too. Amen. So as I go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11, just sit there for a moment and read that to yourself. Because we're about to give the invitation, and I'm going to ask you, if you're not in the will of the Lord tonight and you're struggling in being spiritual, you're studying, you're struggling, I mean, to be in the will of God, just read those verses and do what they tell you to do. In a moment, we'll have the invitation as the pianist is coming to the piano. I'm going to go ahead and give the invitation. Someone said, Brother Beckham, you haven't preached long enough. I have learned to preach as long as God tells me to preach and get down. I have to be in the will of the Father too. Amen. And that's point one of four or five points. And we'll have a different point each night, and we review the point. Tomorrow night you'll hear this again, plus point two. And by the time we get to Thursday night, we'll be preaching 4 hours. I love you, church. But will you do yourself a favor and do me a favor and do the Lord a favor and do your church a favor? Will you be honest? I said this morning, honesty is the key. We need to be honest with ourselves and with our Father. I'll say it one more time. It's so important for us to be in the will of God and to be have that open relationship and that open line with God. It's so important because I stood out there in that foyer this morning and tonight, and I just sat down in a chair and I heard all types of requests for prayer as you was talking about some ailments and different sicknesses and different things. And it would be a terrible thing for you to be a member of this church and hear all of that and hear it when it comes over from the pulpit and not be able to pray for our brethren, our brothers and our sisters. Amen? It'd be a terrible thing. So we got to get right. We got to make sure. If you're right, amen, hallelujah. But if you're not, do it before you leave. Just say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And He will. So as we stand.